study God's Word. I hope you see the screen. Do you see the screen? Okay, good. All right. The title of my lesson this morning is People Who Believe in Their Cause. And I changed the scripture reading to Luke 13, 25 for one reason. And you'll see it as we go through the lesson. We're going to refer to that passage. And I love the way Rod read that verse when we got to it, because that's exactly the way I wanted him to read it. And he did it without me even telling him so, because it's an exciting passage there. The point of my lesson this morning is this. Those pleasing to God have always been those people who passionately defend and proclaim His will. The word I'm going to focus this morning on is passionately. Passion. It really amazes me sometimes what people will do who believe in their cause. The reactions. If you look at the screen right now, you see Palestinians and Israelis. And most of us know the story behind that, that struggle for land for centuries. And they're right there in each other's face. And each one passionately believes what they stand for. They believe they're right. And this one has always struck me. Another one is the death penalty. People on both sides of the issue, they really believe in their cause. And they get out and do all kinds of things and march and do this and that. Both trying to convince people that their side is right. They believe in their cause. The right to life, pro-choice. Both sides believe deeply in their cause. And they march and do all sorts of things. They're out there expressing their opinions and their beliefs. And then going back a few years to the civil rights movement, all the marches and everything that group of people went through, and all kinds of people went through, actually, to gain civil rights in this country for people of color. And they really believed in what they were doing so much they were treated brutally. But they never gave up because they believed in their cause. And then the animal rights movement, people all over the place, they will do all kinds of strange things. They believe in their cause so much. And so they're out there protesting and doing all sorts of things. This one of war protesters in the 1960s and 70s. This is a picture of people that gathered on a Seattle freeway and sat down on the freeway and held up traffic, and I'm sure caused a lot of trouble in Seattle on that day. They believed in their cause. I find it particularly interesting to see their passion for their causes. Most, if not all, of these groups put many of us to shame in how they stand for their cause compared to how we take a stand sometimes. I could not help but think how the body of Christ would be impacted if everyone in the body possessed such passion for the cause of Christ. What would the body of Christ look like today? If we were out there and really standing up and passionately defending and preaching the Word of God. God's people and the stand for their cause. When you look back to the Old Testament, you look back in the Bible, old and new, you see all kinds of people, a long, rich history of people who stood for their cause, the cause of God. We look at Joshua and Caleb, and we just had a sermon about them recently, Numbers 13 and 14. They went and spied out the land and they came back. And they boldly stood in the face of great danger and proclaimed their confidence and faith in God to do what He promised He would do. I mean, it was bold. They wanted to kill Him right there. Remember that? And then Jehu in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 10. He killed the descendants of Ahab and rid Israel of Baal worship and all the prophets of Baal. This is during a time when the prophets, the worship of Baal and the prophets of Baal were very powerful. But yet Jehu stood up to them because he believed in his cause. He believed in God's word and what was right. Nehemiah and the people that came back from Babylonian captivity. Nehemiah chapter 2 through chapter 4, and in fact the entire chapter, The people had a mind to work in the face of danger. When people around them were attacking them, they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem in 52 days. They were zealous for God, and they built those walls, working with a weapon in one hand and working with the other, because it was dangerous, but yet they did it. And who can forget good old David? David, the shepherd boy. 1 Samuel 17:29. He goes out to visit his brothers who are at the battlefront. He goes out to bring them food. And as he's there, he hears this giant come out, Goliath, every day and mock God's people. And it just astounded David. And he turned around and he said these words, "Is there not a cause?" And here this young man tried to put on the armor, and he sloughed it all off because it was too big. And he picked up five stones and took his slingshot and went out there because God was on his side and he believed in the cause of God, and he went out there and defeated that giant. Then we get to the New Testament, Peter and John preaching the gospel in Jerusalem, and they didn't like it. They got the whole crowd, the whole city in an uproar. And so the leaders took them and beat them and told them not to preach anymore. And they said, "It's better for us to obey God rather than man." They took their beating and went right back out and preached the word of God even more boldly because they believed in their cause. Stephen stood up before the council in Acts chapter 8 and proclaimed the gospel. And at the end of that lesson, he made them so angry, they took up stones and stoned him to death. But he believed in his cause. And then the Apostle Paul, of course, Acts chapters 9 through 28, Acts chapter 9 and verse 20, and chapter 22, especially speak to this. He was known as Saul, a Hebrew, a Jew, a Pharisee among Pharisees, a teacher. And he held the garments and sanctioned and actually led the pack in searching down Christians and killing them when he was Saul. Why did he do that? Because he believed in his cause. He believed that he was doing the right thing for God, when in fact he was not. In Acts chapter 9, he meets the Lord, or the Lord comes to him, strikes him blind on the road to Damascus, and he straightens him out. And Paul says, "What do you want me to do, Lord? What do you want me to do?" And he told him to go into the city. Ananias would meet him there and preach to him. He obeyed the gospel right then and then went right into the ministry, preaching and teaching Jesus Christ. He believed in his cause, so much so that Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I spelled been wrong, crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That right there is a definition for total commitment right there. He believed in his cause, and he suffered terribly for it, as we know from what the scriptures teach. But he believed in his cause, and he went through with it. All of these mentioned, in addition to many, many more, had one thing in common, and that was their passion for doing the will of God. These people believed in the cause for which they stood and fought, were persecuted for it, and sometimes died for it. They truly believed it, and they lived it in their lives. That common passion made for a great fellowship in God. Even though many of them never knew each other this side of heaven, they still had that great fellowship. And as we believe by faith in God's word, they're enjoying that fellowship even more now, being comforted in paradise for their obedience to the gospel, or to God and the gospel. So I ask this question today: what are people passionate about today? What are we passionate about? Some people are passionate about video games. Oh, they love those video games. You can tell those people who love video games, they're as white as can be, because they never get outside to get any sun. And sometimes their hands are crimped over like this, you know. You shake their hand, they can't open it because they're used to having, I'm just kidding now. But they're passionate about video games. They love to play it. Even adults love to play video games. They'd rather do that than fellowship with their kids, go out with their friends, come to church. They want to stay home and play video games, Madden football and so forth. You know, some people are passionate about sports. You've seen those crazy people who paint their bodies, who do all kinds of things, wear all kinds of garb, because they love their sports. They're passionate about their sports. Don't say anything about their team. They'll get right in your face, and they will defend their team no matter how bad their team is. They will defend their team all the way. Some people are passionate about their cell phones. You think a cell phone is part of their head, actually, because it's up there all the time. I wish you could see what I see in school. Kids and their cell phones. I tell you, if you want to go into a business today, go into the hearing aid business like my wife's in, or go into the carpal tunnel business, because in about 10 years, it's going to be an epidemic. And we're not yet sure on brain surgery because, you know, they say it might cause cancer. But anyway, they're passionate about their cell phones. Oh, you lose your cell phones, they'll jump over cars to go find their cell phones. Some of us remember O.J. Simpson in the airport. Remember that? Running to get his car. Now that the car has no business, it's the cell phone. They'll run like that no matter where. They'll run through fire to get their cell phone. I lost my cell phone. It's the end of the world. Okay? That's how passionate they are. Some people are passionate about Facebook. They can't stay off Facebook. They love Facebook. They put everything on Facebook. Don't look at anybody. Okay? Everybody's looking around, you know, when I say something. They look around at other people. Oh, that's you. No, that's you. You're passionate about something like that too. And there's a million other things that distract us. We're passionate about things, aren't we? But what about passion for the things of the Lord? Are we as passionate about that? Are we as passionate about the Word of God? Oh, if you weren't in Bible class this morning, you missed one of the best classes I've ever taught. And it's not because of me, it's because of God's Word. He just tucked this little verse right there. Oh, I was so excited about it. Are we passionate about the Word of God and finding the treasures that are there for us to find, that God has placed, waiting for us to find them and praise Him for it because He put it there? Oh, what about pleasing God, knowing who we are and pleasing God? Oh, I'm going to do this because I know God wants me to do it, and you can't keep me from it. I'm going to do it. And then what about the church? Are we passionate about each other? Are we really passionate? Do we put the church way up there on the list? Or is the church somewhere down here? Do we really feel passionate about it? Like we would a sports game? Or getting a new phone? Or getting Facebook? Are we really passionate about the church? What about worshiping God? Do you look forward to coming to worship? To seeing God's people and to praising God and singing the praises? To come and worship the God of this world? How is that even possible? That we are so blessed to worship the God who created this world, who's preparing for us a place in heaven. It's only possible because of Jesus. And because of God's great love, worshiping God. What about fellowshipping with other Christians? When we have things going on to build our fellowship, faith building, strength building functions, or do we have to get home? Well, I don't stay for potlucks because I'm afraid of the food. Then don't eat. Stay for the potluck, though, and fellowship. And pick up a burger. A burger? On the way home. I'd rather trust my brothers and sisters in Christ to cook my food than somebody in the back. Now, I don't want to offend anybody who works in places like that, because that's where I started my job. But the point is, worship, I mean, fellowshipping with the saints. Those are precious moments. Precious moments, and that, those are part of the things, of the works that we do, that we take with us into heaven. The fellowshipping with the saints. We can take those things with us. Job says you can't, in the book of Job, it says you can't take anything with your hands that are made with your hands. But the works we can take with us into heaven, Revelation says, are the spiritual things. And that's a spiritual thing. Fellowshipping, worshiping, the church, pleasing God, the word of God. All of those things we can take with us. Those are things that we should be passionate about. What are we passionate about? What's missing in the church today? Some in the church here in Merced today share this passion for God's will with those we talked about from the Old and New Testament. We share that passion. We take a stand. We are zealous about doing good works. And you can tell it in their lives. They're just different. People look up to those people. I can't begin to tell you all the good that many in our brethren here in Merced are involved in among our congregation. Great acts of love and kindness. It's just amazing. It's amazing to me. It makes me feel good to see the brethren out there visiting, teaching, sharing with their neighbors, doing those things. That's what we need to be passionate about. Some people are. And not only with people in the brotherhood, but people who aren't. They're just doing that for everybody. They're letting their light shine that people can see their goodness and glorify their Father in heaven. Why would they do that if they didn't know that you were a member of the body of Christ? If they know you're a member of the body of Christ and you're out there visiting, doing good things, they're thinking what a wonderful person you are. What makes you wonderful and special is Jesus Christ, because you're a follower and disciple of Christ. It thrills me to see and hear my brethren doing things that bring glory to God. They're zealous for good works, like the book of Titus tells us. Paul tells Titus, they were zealous for good works, because we're God's own special people. However, there are some brethren who do not possess that passion for the things of God here in this congregation. It does not manifest itself in their lives. They don't take a stand for the truth. They're lukewarm when it comes to the things of God. They could take it or they could leave it. If I don't have anything better going on, I'll go down and stay for the potluck and fellowship. If I don't have someplace else to go, I'll go and worship. See, they can take it or leave it. Lukewarmness. And the book of Revelation says the Lord is not pleased with lukewarmness. They are apathetic to the cause of Christ. They are apathetic to the fact that Christ died for the very people that they're talking with. Yet they never mention the Lord to them. It leads one to question whether or not they really believe in the cause of Christ. Do you really believe it? Are we that afraid that we shy away from doing what the Lord placed us here to do? Are we really that fearful? And what the really saddest part of this is that these people are missing out on the blessings that God has in store for them. Because if they weren't so shy, if they weren't so fearful, they might be persecuted. And oh, what a blessing that would be. Because we would come out of that and be stronger. And even if we weren't persecuted, oh, what a blessing that would be. Because we would feel so great about ourselves that we did what God wanted us to do. Oh, what a blessing. There's nothing wrong with saying that, because that's the way God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel good about doing His will. So whether we're persecuted or not, when we stand up for the cause of Christ and are passionate about it, we're going to feel good about it. Because God sends us that blessing. The blessings of brethren, things that bind us together the brotherhood. It bind us and make us stronger together. Because sometimes we get together and we start talking about some of the things that happened to us. You know, oh, I went over there and this person yelled at me. They didn't want any part of me. Oh, what a blessing that was for me, because it just made me stronger. You know, we build each other up. It binds us together, because I have a story and you have a story. I have a great story and you have a great story. I have a story that's not so great and you have one that's not so great. In the bread business, which I was in a long time ago, I'm in a different kind of bread business now, the bread of life. But then it was physical bread. We used to call those war stories. You know, we go in and talk at the end of the day, and we'd sit around talking about our day. Christians do that too, you know. We sit around and talk about people we share the gospel with, great gospel meetings we heard, the great things we've seen. Oh, that's great. One thing is for certain that we can all say, and I mean all of us, myself included, we can say, Lord, increase our faith and our passion. I need my faith increased every day, and I need more passion for Christ, because I too, like everybody else, has missed those opportunities because of fear. I too have been shy like everybody else, and I too have missed out on those blessings. And I'm sure people that we read about, you know, we talked about, I'm sure they missed blessings too because they shied away and were fearful. But when they weren't, God blessed them. And so we all need to have our faith increased. In Luke 17 and verse 5, his disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. They knew they were lacking. They wanted to be like Jesus. And they said, increase our faith, Lord. And they prayed for it. In Luke 24, verse 32, the passage that Rod read, the passage on the road to Emmaus, when they were talking to Jesus and they didn't even know it, and then their eyes were opened and they knew it and he vanished away. And then they turned to each other, and you remember they stopped in to rest and sleep at this place. And then Emmaus, on the road to Emmaus, and they stopped in and rested and they were so jazzed up. Man, didn't our heart burn within us when we talked to him? Wasn't that so exciting? And they, you know what I'm thinking of right now? That little boy, and you've probably seen it, about going to Disneyland the next day. And he says, I'm so excited I can't go to sleep. I'm going to Disneyland. That's what these guys were feeling. They were so excited, they couldn't lay down and go to sleep. They had just talked to Jesus. They had heard he had risen. They just heard it. And come to find out, they walked all that way, 7 miles, with Jesus. And then he revealed himself, and he's gone. Could you sleep that night? You know what they did? They got right up and went the 7 miles back to Jerusalem at night and told the disciples there, we saw him. He was with us. Oh, can't you just feel that passion? Their heart burned within them. Going back to the Old Testament, Jeremiah the prophet, he was persecuted, thrown into jail, thrown into stocks on the high so everybody could see him. And he's there and he says this little prayer, I'm not going to say anything else about God. Look at the mess I've gotten myself into. And then he turns and he says, but I couldn't. I couldn't hold it back. It was like a fire in my bones, and I couldn't help but speak the word of God. That's the kind of passion we need to have. That's the kind of passion I want to have. That's the kind of passion we need to pray for, brethren. Increase our faith. There's Jeremiah. Jesus' passion for his cause. Look at this. Jesus had passion for his cause. His cause was our redemption. Luke 19:10. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's me. That's you. And he left his home in heaven, as we sang about this morning. And Tyler mentioned, he came down. That was his passion. His enemy was Satan. Our enemy is Satan. His ministry, there was nothing that was going to deter him from doing what his Father sent him to do. Nothing could hold him back. And he went all the way. You remember Passion Week? Passion Week is that 7 days when he enters the gates of Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And everybody's praising him. Oh, you know, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. 7 days later, he's hanging on a cross. That's Passion Week. Why do they call it Passion Week? Because of Jesus' passion. He was going to that cross no matter what. Death on the cross for me, for you. Nothing could hold him back because he's passionate about me. And he's passionate about you. And then his final victory, the resurrection from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58. Nothing could hold him back. Nothing could keep him in that grave. His Father gave him the power to take his life up again, and that's exactly what he does. He comes out of that tomb, winning the victory for himself, for us, over Satan and sin, giving us hope of eternal life because he was passionate about us. Shouldn't we be passionate about him? Shouldn't our hearts be burning inside with the opportunity to share the gospel with others, to talk to our friends? Shouldn't our hearts be burning inside for the things of God, to worship him, to study his word? Shouldn't that take precedent in our life? Isn't that what we should be passionate about? More than anything else, is passionate about Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Jesus was that passionate and more about me. And he's that passionate about you. Oh man, what a great Savior we have, Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, do you believe in the cause for which Christ died? The cause is our redemption. Do you believe in that? Do you want to be saved? Are you zealous and passionate about it? Zealous. I'm going to do it no matter what. Nothing is going to hold me back from worshiping God on Sunday morning. Nothing is going to hold me back from studying my Bible, to praying to my God. Nothing is going to hold me back. Because I'm passionate about the same things that God is passionate about. Or have you lost that fire within? Have you lost it? If you have, then you need to come home to Jesus if you've lost your fire. Some of us have lost our fire. Some of us, the fire is going out. Some of us, we're on fire, but we can always get hotter, you know. Let's pray. Father in heaven, please increase our faith. Help us to study your word, to really dedicate our lives to you, to become passionate about the same things that you're passionate about, to put aside the things that are temporary. We can be passionate about them, yes, but help us not to be replacing those things, replacing you with those things. Help us to always keep you first in our life. We pray for greater faith, for greater passion for your cause, because you loved us so much. And we love you, Father. Please help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, he died for you. He was passionate about you. Even though you're out there sinning, you know you're not living right. You know there's something better out there. And that something better is Jesus Christ. And you know this is the place, God's people, passionate. And we want to be more passionate. If you need to obey the gospel this morning, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess that he is the Son of God. With your mouth, from the heart, before people. Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then live your life that way the rest of your life. as best as you can. And when you stumble, set yourself right again. But then, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, being baptized into Christ. Baptism is so important because Jesus said it's important. That's it. It's said and done. That's it. You can tell me all day long baptism isn't important. And I hear you, but I hear Jesus more. He said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So why should you be baptized? Because Jesus said it's important. And man, if we say Jesus, it's not important, what does that mean that we're saying about what Jesus said? I'll let you figure that out. It is important. Put on Christ in baptism, washing away your sins, raised to newness of life, to live faithful to the Lord from that day forward, passionate for the cause of Christ. Won't you do that this morning? We have everything ready, the clothes, the water, everything. We can make you a child of God today because you're obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ain't not added to the church. You're added to the body of Christ, which is the church. I don't do the adding. We don't take a vote on you. The Lord, you obey, the Lord adds you to the church. It's just like that. And you remain faithful to the Lord. And in remaining faithful to the Lord, you remain faithful to the body. If you're faithful to the Lord, you'll be faithful to the body. That's how it all works. So if you haven't obeyed the gospel as of yet, please do so this morning. You may not have any more time after this. So it's very important that you consider this. If you are a member of the body of Christ, but you feel your fire has gone out, you haven't been as faithful, and you know it. God knows it. Oh, you may be here every time the doors are open. You may be going through the songs and prayers, but you know the fire is going out. You know it. Jesus' fire never went out for you. It never went out for me. Still burning. He gave his life for us. And we want to dedicate our life to him. If your fire is going out, rededicate your life to the Lord. If you need to come forward to do so, do so. But if you can do it right there as a Christian and say, you know, Father, I haven't been faithful to you. I need to be faithful. I want to rededicate my life to you. And then ask God to help you. Pray for forgiveness of sin and show fruit of repentance. And start out fresh again. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That's what we have in Christ Jesus, you know. Those of us who are in Christ Jesus. If you need to be restored to the Lord, do so this morning. If you would like more information about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the treasure contained in the Bible, I would be more than happy to sit down with you and we can study together and share our thoughts together about God's word and what we need to do to be pleasing to God. Just let me know. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. I'm a friendly guy. I'm a fun guy. Don't be held back because of fear. Because this is too important for you. Come to me and ask to study and we can work that all out. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation today, please do so right now while we stand and sing.